Okay, first order of business, public comment on anything that isn't in the regular agenda items listed below. Is any public comment on items not on the agenda?
I would just like to take the opportunity to get a fabulous maintenance crew for the new park over here, so all the work they've done on that, it looks marvelous. And who do we have to thank for sponsoring that?
That came from,
Northwest Energy, or?
It was funded by the county wind farm impact fees.
Not entirely, the town of Bridger is covering some of it.
We covered the labor and.
Well, it looks wonderful, and are we gonna get another wind farm from them?
Well, we're gonna keep asking.
Good, good.
Any other public comment on items that are not on the agenda? Okay. So I guess at this time, we're going to elect the council president, I'm not certain how that process works, but.
Essentially, somebody makes the motion.
But historically, not that it matters, that there's nothing in ordinance that demands it, historically, the senior council person is usually the one that gets, elected council president. So, with that, I'll turn it over to the council to make the motion that we vacate the chief council president.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Alright, on to council president. Council board positions.
So, the primary one that's active is the ambulance
something that's probably old news to some people and new to a lot of others. So there's discussion on our side on the law on the rural fire district about annexing town of Bridger into rural fire district. So most people don't know that there is two fire departments in Bridger. One is a rural fire district, and that covers everything outside of the fire district. There's one town that's inside the city limits. And so, a little bit of history. As far as I can tell, the city volunteer fire department, what I can find in state records is 1948. So that was the fire department of whatever the city limits has it expanded. That was their territory that they covered. And in 51, they decided, some group of people decided that they needed to be fire coverage for the people outside of town. So they developed or made a rural fire district. And by the time it was all said and done, it was 1950. And that fire district went roughly up to where the sod farm is, all the way down to the state line south of Bell Creek. And it excluded part of 310 corridor down Wyoming that way. So it wasn't that part, but it was all the way to the Wyoming district. In 83, the Clark Fork Rural District divided into two districts. And then Bell Creek made their own, which is the southern half of what used to be Clark Fork Rural. And Clark Fork Rural has the northern half. So it ended up being two fire districts out of the rural fire district, and then the town has its own fire district inside the city limits. Most people living there don't know that there's two fire departments, and they see a fire department in town, and then they get fire, and that's the end. On the rural side, the reason that we're having this discussion of annexing it is one for just plain simplification. There's two fire departments, two budgets to keep track of, basically duplicating of a lot of different things. Back in the day, and I'm going to say roughly in the 60s and prior, the two fire departments did not get along whatsoever. They did not go to each other's meetings, they did not go to each other's calls, they did not train together. They were two separate groups of people. And over the years, that has changed to where we're at now. It's pretty muddy, like we're just one group of people. And we call it Bridger Fire, is the name. That's what we use on the radio, but it's Clark Fork Rural, owns part of the trucks, and then the city of Bridger owns one structure. So whatever call we go on, we just take whatever truck, and we don't really think about it. The name on the door doesn't really mean nothing to us. But it's pretty muddy as to how do we function with two fire departments and one relatively one fire department. So on the rural side, there's no real advantage of having the city fire department join with the rural fire district, in the sense that the city has ISO ratings on insurance, and outside of 5 miles in the rural, it doesn't matter how much fire equipment you have, because 5 miles away your insurance is a 10. Inside the city limits, the ISO ratings matter a whole bunch. And how one of the benefits that the city gets having the rule is all the equipment that the rule owns is factored into the ISO ratings, and the city of Bridger doesn't own them or have to maintain them. So the tender that goes into ISO ratings, a second structure engine goes into the ISO ratings, and then the equipment, the personnel, and the training, and there's a whole bunch into the formula, but there is a bunch of advantage of the city having the rule. It's not really the other way around in that respect. So we would like to try and simplify things and just make it one district. that the rural fire district has a board, and they manage a budget that's given to them out of the county allotment. So on the rural taxpayers, so everybody outside of the city limits, there is a line item on your tax receipt from rural fire district number two. Everybody in the rural pays one of the line items, rural district two. That money goes to the county, sends it to the board, and then the board manages. On the city side, there is no fire tax, and to my knowledge, never have been a fire tax. The money that ends up in the line item on the city budget is pulled out of the general fund, as I understand it. And it's allotted by the town council. So there's not really, I don't want to say that the people inside the city limits are not paying a fire tax, but really they're not. So is it really a big deal? No, I mean, it's worked the way it has for a long time. But what I'm trying to do is fix it for the future. So in 92, Bill Cole was the fire chief, and he put a lot of work forward to get a new structure. And so we have a 1983 structure in the city of Bridgeport. So it is now roughly 32 years old. The old school for fire, I don't know. I don't know the answers to that. Is there anything wrong with it? No. Work good, yeah, it does. Pump water. From a mechanical standpoint, it's one of the more bulletproof chassis that you can buy, even better, I think, than today's. But it is 32 years old. So when that engine was bought, it was $250,000, and Bill put a mill levy on the city limits. People said the city limits, they all paid a line item to help pay off that. And in my understanding, in 2002 or 2003, it was paid off. And that was the end of the fire tax. Nothing's been done since that time. There's no money been saved to do this again. So, like I said, it's 32 years old. And let's say 4 years if we decide to be that's full for fire trucks. As of right now, your general structure engines are 600 to 650. And you say, what is your dollars? So that's on the city side. So, like, what do we do to fix that? I don't know what the right answer is. Part of it falls on me for not, I took over as fire chief in 19, and I've been to a lot of town council meetings, but I haven't specifically addressed on a regular basis on the fire rate. Part of it falls on the town council and the past town councils for not addressing that as well. But it falls on pretty much everybody's shoulders. What do we do to fix that problem? Well, let's say in 8 years when that engine is 44 years old, we say from now, 8 years, I don't know if it'll be in 8 years, but it's not going to be what we are today, so it's going to be even worse. So, like, how do we fix this in the long term? My plan is to make it all one fire district. Everybody puts in the one budget, and then you can, but a rotation on the structure engines on a yearly basis, like what the ambulance does. The two structure engines is a really good setup, I think. In case you have a problem with one, you got a backup. You take both structure engines on both problems or both ones anyway. But I think, because those are the big ticket items, they really are, they're stupid expensive. As far as work comp, the city pays work comp, and the rural pays work comp. So it's two different things, and the city has an insurance policy, and the rural fire district has an insurance policy. So in some things, we're duplicating, and not costing the taxpayers in some ways. But in the long run, I think the fix for future generations is not going to fix it just right now, but I think in the long run, the best avenue forward is to annex and make it all one fire district. So to do that, the problem
process, it's spelled out in the NCA, and it's a petition process. It's not anything the town council can hand out, it's not anything the fire district can hand out, fire chief, or the, county commissioners that have to come to the first meeting, and that's on a petition form. So it takes 40% of the people, so taxpayers, in the area, which would be the town limits, and it takes 40% of the taxing body, and it would be two totally different things. They have to sign the petition that they want to join the rural fire district. And if that happens, then it's all one fire district. There'd be one board, and one group of guys, one group of equipment, be a lot simpler. In doing that, it does assign a tax to those people inside the city, and I'm not gonna say it's for the people. So they would pay the same thing as what the rural taxpayers paid for. So, I don't have a specific number, but we did a similar annexation for what we call no man's land, south of Bridger, Wyoming. And Thea Davidson, the same company that did the school, the levy, it was roughly $21.86 per $100 tax. So most of the properties inside the town limits, excluding, you know, very ones or commercial, are gonna be somewhere between $20 and $40. On the tax receipt. So that's kind of the down and dirty of it. There's pros and cons every which way you look at it, and we could argue about it all day long. I don't know of a better way to fix it. If anybody has a better way, I'm totally open for ideas. If you have questions, please.
I was with the Commons Fire Department, we joined in Florida with the city. The city had a couple of trucks, and they only had about four firemen, five firemen, and they wanted more action.
our department, and then it gets down to, well, who buys the pool paper towels? You know, you get down to, you know, stupid stuff like that, like, well, we bought the last case of paper towels, it's your turn. So someone has to keep track of all that, and we're going through that, that's like, you know, so how do we make it simple? So talking to Tom, he said, don't do what we did, just do it this way, right out of the gate, and it eliminates a whole mess of problems. Same thing with Calder over in Columbus, they've done it this way, and then, Chris. Boyden?
Okay.
That's how I say it in my head, I don't know if that's actually right.
Yeah, now we pay for it. So he was, the mayor, and he was on the fire department chief, and he's seen it on both sides.
He's one of those.
And he's one of them that was, way more, way cleaner, way easier, and it's a long-term fix. So, like Mark said, we're not unique in this, like, all of Montana developed in the same fashion. A little town here, and a little town here, and a little town here, and then the town got bigger, and then the rules started developing, and that's how old Montana was, basically. So we're not the only ones that were, you know, that are crossing this bridge, or have crossed the bridge, because that's kind of how Montana developed. But talking to the people that have done, you know, that's the long-term fix, it's simple.
What things cost, maybe you search for a whole lot different than what they cost now, so.
Right.
And it does make it more reasonable to consolidate.
And, I mean, I don't want to come across derogatory towards the city in one iota, I'm not here to tell Mike, but the reason that it's worked up until now is because of the rural taxpayers. They've ponied up in, like, our PPE, when I say that, like, our turnouts, just our structure, I'm not talking about wildland, but our structure turnouts, I mean, they're 6,000 to 7,500 per guy. Okay, so we got 17 guys. Obviously, we have more turnouts than we have guys, because we got different sizes of people that are going.
And they expire.
And they expire every time. So, you know, should they expire? Look, and I've had this conversation. He thinks it's a shice. I think that it kind of shies the two. But on this other side, you know, there's NFPA regulations, some agriculture regulations, you know, medical regulations, like, I mean, whatever. I don't agree with a lot of it either, but we have the, I mean, the least we could do is protect the volunteers and give them good food. Like, keep them volunteering, I mean, they have a chance of not going home, reality. Get hit on the highway or get, you know, go in a fire, like, I mean, it's a reality. So the least we can do is try to protect them. That's how I look at it as parents. Like, that's the very least I can do is keep them good and protect them. But the clothes are 6 to 7,500 per person. And then you know, the air packs, those are probably around the same neighborhood, 6 to 8,500 for air pack and an extra box. So the reason that this arrangement has worked up until now, I mean, it could still work. It's not that. But the rural taxpayers have picked that up, and the majority of that equipment has been funded by the rural people. And like I said, I'm not throwing my position, and that's kind of how this works. And so, you know, the city people can say, well, why should we worry about protecting the people out there? Why are we worried about letting the church fire? Why are we worried about people from Vermont crashing? I totally understand that. It's legit. But then on the, you know, on the rural tax there, why in the world are we paying for all the PPE for the structure? You know, we go back and forth on calls. Who has more calls or whatever. I mean, we've actually had more structure fires in the city this year than we have in rural. We need to nip on time, but I'm just trying to look for the solution long term, you know. Not necessarily for our generation, but down the road. I think this is more viable.
What would be a negative?
I haven't thought about haven't really thought about the negatives. I mean, I know there's gotta be negatives. I know there's.
But it all sounds good to me.
I tried to see it from the city, you know, why should they? I don't know. You got one? Okay, so I'll tell you negative. The people in town are gonna get assigned a pass if they go and get rid of the pass. That would be a downside. Who wants to pay more taxes, you know?
But that's a negative.
That's a relative. What's that?
But that's a negative, but that's not a big negative.
Right. It's not, I mean, it's more taxes, between taxes and negative, right? But like, I don't see a, even in a 20 years from now, I don't see what, try to look at it that way, but then, I don't know what the bad side is. So, like, just trying to do a long-term thing. I don't know what else.
We all live in the same area.
Right. I don't know, I'm open to questions or comments.
Well, it's the same thing, but, you know, you and I are both on the other board, we have the EMS tax for the, that's also helped the ambulance, which takes care of the
mean, in defense of the, when it was built, is the equipment that was in the 80s and prior was small.
So updated. It's not a efficient building. Go around outside of thermal. Try it out for you, but.
Well, do you know fire department has voice or something? Combining?
Yeah, there is.
So, okay, good, I just wanted to.
So, this is just a preliminary discussion, like, what can we do to transition forward? Obviously, it's not really our votes per se, it's still town has to. Now, it's on a petition, it has to be legal, it has to go before the town council has to approve it, has to go before the commissioner, town commissioners have to approve it.
So it isn't a vote.
It's not a petition, but in the preliminary.
It's not a vote, it's a petition.
That's correct, it's not a vote, it's a petition.
But you just need to go with 40%.
Right.
So 40% of the taxpayers, so, of the taxable lots. So, let's say John Smith owns two city lots, he can sign for both of those, and that's two taxable lots.
Doesn't the petition get it to a ballot vote of all of the taxpayers?
No.
The petition goes to the rural commissioner board. And then it goes to the town council for a pre-vote. Then it goes to the town commissioner. No ballot, no petition.
The petition would be the vote.
Yeah.
If I want it, I sign it, if I don't want it, I don't sign it.
So the taxable value side, just to make it super simple, inside the city limits, the total taxable value of all the houses was $1 million. If you take up the petition, they would all have to equal a minimum of $400,000.
So we call it taxable value.
On a taxable value, not property value, totally different things. Taxable value is what you're taxed on. That does not mean, if you got a $200,000 house, it does not mean that you're getting taxed at $200,000. There's a state formula, and I'm not smart enough to know what that is, but it is a taxable value and it's substantially less than your property value.
And that's information that online on Montana Cadastro, and if you want to look at the property, you have to have a lot of that. Look up and show you what your taxable value is.
In fact, I think you get a statement every year.
You do.
You do, it's on there, the taxable value.
And that's not just part of your tax bill, but a separate.
If you can look at it.
Yeah, it'll tell you exactly what your taxable value is.
And you get substantially less than property value.
40% or more.
I have a number in my mind of what that percentage is, but I don't want to say it for sure.
And we're not trying to just get the minimum slide under the carpet at 40%, because I realize that's under half, right? So, and on the rural board, we did do
gotta read all the words. There's a lot of words, and make sure, that it really sounds like it's from the Department of Mental Health Commission, actually, make that decision. And the town council, that's the commission, that's the town council, that process, we vote on that. Inclusion in the rural district, second and third class, that's the town, talk about, get that all figured out. And just, I think, if this seems like a good idea, legally, there are problems a lot, and then, especially that, a lot of real advantages, set up, that, basically, gets the town out of it, creatively, it's a lot easier to manage one unit that way than two separate units, Right, and you don't have them saying, well, look, you were outside of the district, or, you know, sorry, no, you only had coverage for inside the city, not outside the city. It makes all the problems better. Essentially, once I think the petition process was followed, that governing bodies made their, the commissioners and the council made their vote, you wouldn't need a separate memorandum. Because it essentially had created a separate authority.
Steve, if this were to be a joint thing, then does that change insurance rates in town? Are all going to still be the same rate?
Not that I'm aware of, because, so every 5 years we get an audit, and I don't know why I did not get one last year. So every 5 years, so 2020, I did an audit, and I'm supposed to get one last year. And she comes, and in that ISO, she's a subcontractor, from what I understand, that sets the ISO rating for the insurance companies. And in that is the city water system, so we have a really good water system, so the city water system, and then she has, like, Randy's done some flow testing, and it's actually been pretty beneficial to be found problems with that. But the water system, and then the fire department, the training records, the personnel, the response time, like, all calculated into that. It's, on the audit form, it just, you print your VIN number and what it is, and then you have to list all the things. Print the VIN number, you do that with all the units, and it's already one right now. So they're factoring in all the equipment on the ISO rating, so I can't see how that would change to them. We've upgraded a couple of times, so, since then. But I don't see how it can.
I don't think so. Was there any of the results to be at all informed and everything, and they had it right to go?
Yeah, so when you go in the training book, they only got one training book, they don't have a rural fire district and a city training book, and all that. They got one group of people, you know, but I don't see how it can change with maybe someone missing, but I don't see how it's a possibility. The ISO rating should be,
same.
If anything, the same.
Or better.
Maybe better, because, you know, Randy's improved the water system. I mean, no piece of that pie is a huge percentage, but they all owe it good.
And even after the new fire hall might be built, because it's in town, still available for our water system.
Yeah, still there.
So that's not going to affect the ISO.
That should come in, like, we're not, so it out, you know.
Because that matters, because that calculates into that too, right? Proximity.
Proximity, absolutely.
But yeah, the proximity won't change, you'll still have availability of our water system. So that won't change, so changing locations won't affect the ISO.
I can't see what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Not a mile difference, roughly.
Still in town.
Still in town, nothing.
right now, it sounds like you've got, in effect, all the volunteers are both city volunteers and rural volunteers. And we've got a current MOU or operating.
We do, from 94-ish.
Yeah.
I'd have to go look it up.
I haven't read that MOU, but if it's still in effect, I guess the first question would be, do we need to renew it? Or if we don't need to renew it, can we?
Automatically renew.
Okay.
I think so. I can look real quick if you want to know, but I think it is.
And in which case then, I think that the question is, you know, does it need to be revised while we are going forward with the annexation? Or is it better to just go on annexation? You could do either. Is it, from your point of view, is it working?
Yeah, it works fine.
Okay.
That's what I was saying, like, originally it was two separate departments.
Yeah.
In the 90s, it started getting into where, I mean, that MOU was, you could take the city engine out of city limits. Prior to that, you couldn't. And the rural could use their stuff in town prior to that. So that fixed all of that, I guess. And like I said, it's one group of people. I don't know, Randy, were you ever on with those two separate groups of people? So, like, essentially, it's functioning as one part of that.
Yeah.
But I guess where Kirsten was thinking, like, how do we handle the city building going forward? So does rural pay rent in the city building while they're there and all that? Like, how do we handle that? What do we do with the city fire? Sold to the rural fire district?
Oh.
Is it handed to the rural fire district? Is it, and, you know, that's one of the questions.
Well, yeah, I mean, right now, the town pays the insurance, we do maintenance on the building, and it's just used by the rural, so there's no money exchange chance that that's part of our contribution. So that continues, does it go away? It's up to me, there's questions.
Right.
So we need to figure that out.
Right.
As part of the annexation process.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Sorry, I didn't quite write it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But the building's also used by the rural and the city.
Yeah.
And then you got the ambulance at the street.
Yeah, but the city pays all the maintenance and, I mean, the part that you know, the things that I'm aware of. So I didn't put the utilities this year because we now each have to pay our own work comp. It didn't seem like that was beneficial anymore. You guys now have to pay work comp versus we were paying all the work comp before, so then we were splitting utilities. But now you're paying work comp and the town's paying work comp, so I didn't put the utilities.
I thought we were splitting work comp and utilities, no?
No. Well, previous, like, say a year ago, we were splitting utilities and the town was solely covering work comp.
No, I don't know, Mark Carr, I'm the treasurer of the fire district. So what we did previously, we did split utilities, but with the ambulance accident, we had to step up and get our own work comp.
Yeah.
In addition to the town.
So now both sides of the puzzle are covering work comp.
Yeah.
Up until that point, absolutely. We were splitting utilities, the town was solely covering work comp again as part of our contribution, so. But yeah, I didn't spend there over utilities because now you guys have to cover work comp and it's worked out.
We just have the service. We just have the service done on the compressor that's fills air packs. We paid that bill where previously we split it and we obviously just put a pop it out.
Oh, yeah. We've always split that one typically.
Historically, we split that.
Okay.
I just did, because we just got it done.
That's how we did it before. I paid it once a year, even using it, so either way.
So it's kind of.
In my budget to cover that. It always has been.
I'll get you a question.
Yeah, I've always budgeted for that.
This would, all this would be solved by having one district to handle all this stuff with one administrator.
2012.
Okay.
And the 50, the old 850 is 2016.
But when we trade that in or sell it outright, it's about $16,000 or $20,000 that we get.
Yeah.
$250,000 equity.
The old 2012 is $3,000.
Yeah. They're just.
Well, that's.
When you buy it, you pay for it, but you don't get money back out of it.
Yeah.
Fire trucks can be the same way.
Fire trucks.
Even though it's like a brand new truck.
Yeah.
So.
There is a market for them.
Right, you pay.
I don't think there's. I don't think so. I think this is. Just I'm saying that it would appear that we're on board and we can proceed with whatever process she needs to start gathering.
So, probably finds that.
Yeah.
And I'll start taking steps.
That's a lot of work if we're not on board.
Yeah.
Because.
I get the votes.
Just erase all that work.
We're not voting.
Yeah, I like the everything that.
Yeah, and.
Any other questions or?
I mean, I, yeah, the only thing that.
I pulled up, I found a file, 249. On 49. I found the whole file on it and that line items and all that stuff. I can't remember the company that bought them. Yeah, Beckman. Beckman, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But that was put to a vote.
Yeah.
To do a, yeah. And the town approved, people approved buying and winning, I remember that.
And you must start articulate convincing people to go around and.
Yeah.
Ask more tax dollars.
I think you get that.
And, yeah, who's going to gather it though? You guys?
Yeah, we have like a couple of meetings.
So.
Say this all over and again.
Yeah, I should. Okay. So our plan on the rural side is to send out a mailer to everybody inside the town on this. Downtown, north of Long Bowl. Long as not. And it'll be a mailer and what our plan is to produce a total of 6 public meetings. So a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, a 1 week and a Monday, Tuesday, next week. To try and catch as much people as we possibly can outside of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which we obviously. Don't like meetings.
different petition forms. As an example, Century Link owns property here in town, that's a whole different petition. They wanted to sign a contract right now, but that would be a different, that's a different petition than 201. Second Street, I don't know, that's a different. And then also, let's say the person that owns the Bridge or Church building up there, that's also a different petition. We'll have to do the petition, because they have to be approved by the commissioner.
Both residential and business different then?
Yes, so the reason being is, let's say Smith Grocery Store. Well, there's nobody by that name, right? So there has to be a verification process that the person that's signing that they own Smith Grocery Store has the legal authority to do that. So that's why it's different than, you know, John Smith signing for 201 Second Street. See, John Smith owns 201 Second Street. That's different. So that's the reason it's different.
There are about a half dozen different scenarios, depending on the type of property and the type of ownership. The basic difference is real property versus centrally assessed property. A centrally assessed property would be pipelines, utility lines, those sorts of things. And they're the most challenging things, but we do relatively successful.
Our goal is end of the year.
If we can get this done before the end of the year, then that tax levy will go into effect by then.
How long were you guys working on your man's plan?
2 years. It should not take us that long. It's time. We learned a lot.
You guys should be commended for that. That's taking a lot.
I would actually say that as a former fire board member, you guys have worked really hard. That's the truth of it. To get this stuff taken out of your life.
I think it's tough. I'm impressed. I'm impressed and wish you luck.
The district clearly has experience with this. They've got the process lined up, they've got the statutes understood, and we just want to make sure that from our end of things, where the town is taking that next in, we've got those two little things to us.
Okay, thank you. Very important news. And encouraging. All right. I guess we're ready to move on to the next agenda item. Nothing new on the Old Town Shop or Old Town Hall. I looked into a Pioneer shed that I was going to buy, and $10,000 for a 10x12 Pioneer shed with an overhead door for it. So, no, it's money. I mean, come on. I mean, it's, yeah.
It's like a no-brainer.
That's absolutely a no-brainer.
Fair.
Okay, yep.
So you'll do your best.
What is happening at the church is this maybe let's go and then
oh, yeah, she did.
Oh, he's hiding back there.
Yeah, he's further back.
Right. Yeah, he's not in his normal chair.
Unless you have any questions about people.
Okay, all right, appreciate it. Crystal? Randy?
Working along.
Oh, yeah, looks great, looks wonderful. Northwest Pike City?
No, True North.
True North.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, it's in there.
So, yeah, that's the type of work that's done.
Which will mark that out there. Before you leave, I want to talk to you for a second.
We got it.
I know, I got another issue with it too.
Anything else? That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Mike?
Yeah, two stats, one's for the month. December. And I got one here, it's calls for the year. To explain that to you, calls for service, that's what comes from dispatch. And that's what we get charged on. 1467 is what's coming from dispatch. And you can add, like I put on, there's $1,000 that we're gonna call in. And that's a low estimate. We just don't call in, everything that's called for service, we just use it to call in. What that would be, if we do a split check, if we do a fishing access check, if we do a bar check, all those things that they get calls for service for, that we look at on a computer, and there's a CFS, the county puts in there for theirs, we don't call out for those. So that $1,000 that is not on the list is not the real estimate of what we actually do. So that's 620 sites, that's a 30 to 645 codes. And 75 paper precincts created, and
tried for it to see if it could. It just fell off.
So, do we close this meeting before we start the post?
No.
Okay, and I guess that we don't need a motion.
Out of closed session to adjourn this meeting, this closed session is the last thing, so. If you wanted to wait around outside, and then come back in while we go to adjourn.
So, we don't need a motion at this point, we'll just ask people to, that the public meeting is closed at this point, we have a closed meeting for other things.
Litigation strategy.
Litigation strategy, okay, so, so anyway, meeting's over.
Thank you.
I'll call you once.
That's good.
Well, we said we had new business, new.
Oh.
We can have any.
Yeah, we're waiting.
We don't have.
Man.
March out.